This is session 125, Francophone Mormons. Carter Charles is going to be presenting to us today. Looks like I have a couple of reminders here. I'm supposed to remind you to speak into the mic. I'm supposed to ask the audience to silence cell phones and other noisemakers. I'm not sure what they mean by noisemakers. Remember that we have a book sales room that's located just up the hall here. Let me introduce briefly Charles Carter. Carter Charles. That's the problem of having two first names. He's a native of Haiti, and I understand he's now on the ballot running for president. Carter Charles graduated with a BA and MA in North American Studies at the Université Michel de Montaigne in Bordeaux, where he authored two different master's theses on Mormonism, Priesthood Leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 2005, and The Kingdom of God on Earth, Mormonism, Politics, and the Republican Party, a work in French. He currently teaches English in the French educational system and is a temporary lecturer at the Université Montesquieu, Bordeaux, Michel de Montaigne, Bordeaux 3, Humanities. I don't understand the educational system in France very well, I apologize.
I'll explain.
Where he's also a PhD candidate. His research focuses on the Utah-based church's behavior in the American socio-political landscape and the Francophone world. Please welcome Carter Charles.
Thank you. I am not running for president, although now he is saying that because some of you may have heard that John Wycliffe, or born in Haiti and raised in the East, is a pop star, is running for president. But that's a problem we have in Haiti. It's difficult for people to get together and doing something, and I think that's also weighing down in the country. As a matter of fact, I'm here also because I want to get together with people who are looking towards Haiti so that we can be more efficient. So I'm not in the Wycliffe and generally the way Haitians do things. Now, Bordeaux 3 Humanities and Montesquieu Law, Management, and Political Sciences, that unlike the University of Utah, where you can find all the topics, all the departments in France, in some universities there, we've got specialties. The University Bordeaux 3 teaches everything that is, well, pretty much everything in the humanities, history, language, arts. And then Montesquieu teaches law and political science and management. Right. So my presentation today, Francophone Mormons and the Internet, is a paper that presents preliminary findings for a PhD project whose goal was to study three levels of communication by the LDS Church on the European scene. Those three levels were strategies of communication and interaction with individual European countries, especially France, the way Mormons are perceived in the European countries, and the way Mormons also perceive themselves. Now, this project, I have actually abandoned it because of funding, and also because it was just not appropriate at that time. But I'm still interested in the way Mormons are perceived and the way they interact with non-Mormons. My findings are complementary to findings by a Mormon named Christian Ouvrard, who has completed a PhD dissertation at the University of Paris Sorbonne. And some of his part of that dissertation was presented in a conference I co-organized in Bordeaux in October this year. And in that paper, Ouvrard looked into what was generally being said about Mormons in the media, but he did not look into the specific aspect of Francophone Mormons and their interaction on the Internet, which is what I'm going to speak about today. The LDS Church began making its way into the Francophone world, beginning with French Polynesia in 1843, followed by mainland France in 1850. Arrival in other European countries and territories took place over the 20th century. Now, today, France or Francophone Mormons represent approximately 150,800 people in the LDS Church's worldwide membership. And France and its dependencies are home to 56,850-something Mormons, which is about a third of the Francophone Mormon community. History and social context have made it so that American Mormons are comfortable when it comes to using all sorts of media to communicate about their religion, while Francophone Mormons actually remain virtually silent in that regard. And one of the reasons is that they could not afford it. Another reason is history and social context. The historical traumas associated with religions, coupled with prevailing misconception, certainly contributed to making it more than an arduous task for Mormons to openly discuss their faith. For them, stepping out of anonymity and speaking up about something as personal as belief in God, in living prophets, was equivalent to self-alienation and to putting one's back bare for a backlash. A case in point, you kind of have that here, for instance, when a Mormon has published a book, even if the person is not an active Mormon, the person is perceived as promoting Mormonism. One of my friends told me that, whose mother is a teacher in France, told me that a parent had asked that her child be removed from that a Mormon's class because the parent discovered that the woman belonged to the Mormon church. That's a way to give you the sensibility of things down there. This because the concept of separation of church and state, laïcité in France in particular, is often misconstrued and used to justify anti-religious militantism. Yet changes in attitude towards media communication began to take place with the new millennia among the Mormons. The data I've collected show that beginning with the year 2000, individuals and groups of French-speaking Mormons have been joining in virtual forums, creating websites and blogs to present their beliefs, and otherwise engage in constructive dialogues with non-Mormons. Why use the internet? What are the things that are said in those dialogues? And what can they teach us about the perception of Mormonism in France and in the larger Francophone world? Those are the questions that have motivated my research and that will be addressed here. I'm just going to skip a number of things when it comes to methodology, but still a few remarks on categorization. I found three different categories, or at least it was convenient for me to use those categories to classify sources. One is apologetic, second one is critical or highly critical, and the third one is neutral. That's for the sources. The classification actually tells the general tone of a source, and it has been established either according to statement of purposes on the websites or based on the exchanges that take place on the websites. Now, in the data that follows, skip here the paper outline part to move ahead in time. So, three categories depending on those sources. And so, here's the data. So, you've got on this, on the left, the websites and the blogs, so the sources, and the nature of their content. And then I have established three subcategories, which are, depending on what the comments are, either pro-LDS, hostile, neutral, or off the point. Well, I'm not going to tell you what a pro-LDS comment is. You already know that. A hostile comment is also something that you know, but I have, in some cases, one comment have been classified both as hostile and as pro-LDS. It is the case with this comment. I have no quarrel with the Mormons. I even have precious friends among them. They are in Christ. But, according to me, Joseph Smith was a fraud. Now, obviously, for Mormons, saying that Mormons are in Christ is very important, especially when you are aware of the history of Mormonism and the competition and all the debates between the Christianity or non-Christianity of Mormonism. But saying that Mormonism, Joseph Smith, was a fraud is definitely offensive, because Joseph Smith is, for Mormons, what Muhammad is for the Muslims. So it's like saying that, you know, you're just stupid, actually, believing in something that's been created and made up by a fraud. Now, a neutral comment is one in which a contributor or moderator, not necessarily a Mormon, may give Mormons the opportunity to clarify misleading information, although that opportunity may start off on rumors, for instance. For instance, with one like this. Is it true that Mormons play along with the NSA, CIA, and the FBI because of their mission or experience abroad and encounters? Okay. Now, this quote invites Mormons and informs non-Mormons to tell facts from fantasies. So it is considered, in my opinion, it is neutral. Now, off the point, comments do not address Mormonism. Now, before I move on to the data, just a final remark on objectivity. Obviously, which is something that is technically impossible. The goal in my research was to at least find a way to produce something that is acceptable and something that people can comprehend from beginning to end, and eventually bring up remarks, questions, and move on to also other areas that I may not have considered. Now, data, there are 11 Francophone countries have been identified in the data. They are mainland France, Polynesia, Reunion, etc. And three Francophone contributors in the data, writing from the United States and one from Britain, did not give the country they belong to. One claimed to be French, and one said to be African, but I don't know exactly where in Africa, which is a large continent. Most contributors reside in France and its overseas territories, 29 out of 37 participants, as shown here. And Haiti and Belgium come second in the number of participants. Each of the other countries have had just one participant. This data come from a sample of 500 pages that, although they do not take into account all the pages, all the internet sites that I had to read and visit to produce to obtain my findings. So contributors are both males, females, but I did not deem it necessary to study the distribution of genders, that is, how many women, how many men participated in the discussions. And I did not also consider it relevant to count ethnic origins. Now, further in the data, something went wrong here. Looks like I've messed up with the PowerPoint. No, my bad. So, to visualize the data here, I have produced this chart. What you can see is that table 3, table 3 here, the 500 pages produce a total of 762 comments down here. And out of that number, 185 are off the point. They do not address Mormonism. 271 are neutral. 245 are favorable to Mormonism, and 61 are hostile or opposed to Mormonism. This data actually go counter to the impression of 7 persons found in Christian Ouvrard's survey for his dissertation. He had surveyed 1,431 Francophone Mormons who actually sensed that the misrepresentation of Mormonism in the Francophone world was largely due to the media. Now, it is clear from my findings that this misrepresentation was actually this perception of Mormonism being wrongly portrayed in the media was not founded, because we only have 8%, as shown here, of hostile, really hostile reaction towards Mormonism and exchanges made on the internet. On the data on table 3 also show that 32 out of the 121 participants, back to here, are Mormons. When you track the data down to individual sources, it appears that those Mormons are unevenly distributed. For a website like Harvest 21, the number of Mormons amount to about half of the participants, 18 for 19. But for sources like Doctissimo 1 or Jacobinet down here, the numbers are 3 for 30 and 1 for 6 respectively. On Le Blog de Natalie, which has 3 participants, a practicing Mormon, a disaffected one, and Natalie, 5 out of 8 comments are clearly hostile towards Mormonism. The remaining 3 are deemed favorable. As on Natalie's blog, the discussion on Twilight's Mormonism on Jacobinet, still here, has but 1 practicing Mormon, although the percentage of its pro-LDS comments, 10%, is higher than its hostile ones. The other percentages are 17 for neutral and 73 for off the point. The discussion around the... Now I have to say what EDGASDJ article on Wikipedia is. It's actually the short abbreviation, actually, for Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in French. Église de Jésus-Christ des Saints des Derniers Jours. So on that website, there have been 4 Mormons identified for 13 non-Mormons. But that website is also the least critical of Mormonism. It is 52% neutral. That is, in this case, you can interpret neutral as being academically objective. That is, and 27% favorable to Mormonism. Knowing that 12% out of the remaining 21% is off-the-point comment. That leaves a small 9% of hostile comments or unfavorable remarks on Mormonism on Wikipedia, on the French portal of Wikipedia. On the other hand, in spite of its almost balanced groups, in spite of it showing that the highest percentage of pro-LDS comments, 49%, the Parvis 21 discussion is paradoxically where you also have the second highest percentage of hostile comments on Mormonism. Now, to go further in this attempt to make sense of the data, one may pose that hypothesis 1, the more you have Mormons in a discussion, the more pro-LDS comments you have. Well, the data from Parvis 21 show that this hypothesis mathematically holds, but as already noted, the discussion on that forum returns a high percentage of hostile comments. So how do we account for them? Why such a paradox? Should it be posed that hypothesis 2, Mormons go where they are most criticized to defend their faith? Unlike the first hypothesis, the second one would imply that it is not the Francophone Mormons who have generated criticism towards their religion because of the promoting it, but rather that criticisms made them want to join in a discussion to clarify things. The idea that Mormons join in discussion to put the record straight is verified in the way frame their answers, their remarks on forum moderated by non-Mormons. You've got 3 examples here. For instance, there are a lot of erroneous information and even mistakes in your text on the Mormons. I do not know whether it is purposefully or not sick. It is not the if it is not the case, you can contact me or visit our website. Second one, I've just finished reading what dealt with the Mormons on this page, and as a member, it is really horrifying to read such lies on this religion. Third one, once again, I protest some of your comments. I am of the same religion as Stephanie Mayer. We are normal people, and I can't see why some people take the liberty to criticize our principles. Now, as it is emphasized, it is the idea of the second hypothesis that is verified. Its quantitative aspect is not verified elsewhere. I mean, there are no real one-on-one conversation, Mormon-to-Mormon situation, on the other sources. This means that while the number of Francophone Mormons in a given discussion does affect its outcome, there are other elements that contribute to explaining that outcome, especially when it comes to providing answers to questions in Hypothesis 1, which was the more you have Mormons, the more pro-LDS comments you have. Now, those elements that contribute to explaining the type of data retrieved from the sources are the nature and the background of the contributors' actions. It appears from those two elements that the most determining factor in the outcome of discussions are whether the non-Mormon participants, the sources where the discussions take place, are affiliated to other religions or not. Since it is an encyclopedia and that its contents are supposed to be acceptable to anyone, Wikipedia.fr is in a scientific, factual approach of things. Most of its contributors try not to let personal beliefs interfere, especially religious ones. This explains the high percentage of neutral comments on Mormonism. Interestingly, most of those comments were made by non-Mormons, who considered that the article on the LDS Church on Wikipedia in French was not factual enough. Those same contributors also made sure that those who modified the article did not write false or unfounded information on the LDS Church. Contributors on Jacobinet, that is the discussion on Twilight, are not in a scientific approach. They're just teenagers who want to talk about Twilight, and actually Mormonism, Twilight's Mormonism, is just an excuse to get together and talk. Likewise, participants on Doctissimo, who do not seem to belong to religions, are the most curious and the most candid about Mormonism. Those who belong to religions tend to be aggressive and hostile. A contributor, for instance, on Doctissimo wrote, actually, Doctissimo is a forum that was created by a Mormon on the French internet. So one of the contributors wrote that thing of yours is a cult, Church of Jesus Christ. They should have chosen another name for their cult. They defy the reputation of the true religion. Another contributor in the same forum constantly tries to emphasize how much truer her religion was compared to Mormonism. So basically you have a context in which if people believe in something, then the discussions tend to be very polarized and tends to be very they tend to go in towards debates and conflicts in their discussions. What can be drawn from the analysis at this point is that hostile remarks between Mormons and non-Mormons are made just because they want to promote their religion, depending on their different opinion. It is also because both non-Mormons, Mormons and non-Mormons, try to view the other from the standpoint of their own beliefs. That is, if the non-Mormon does not find in Mormonism the same principle, the same values, the same doctrine, then for the mild critics it is not true. And for the most exacting ones, it is a dangerous cult from which people should stay away. I have already quoted the example of a Mormon who invited people to visit the church's website to cross-check her information. Now, this type of this attitude, I have deemed it diplomatic. Dialogue with non-Mormons. I have actually identified three types of discussions among those. Three type of reactions among the Mormons in general, beside the diplomatic one. You have the aggressive one, some examples here, and a religious reaction as well. Now, in this In those three examples here, I have willfully emphasized some verbal forms and phrases like have to, I claim, they deserve, and the question, so what? Because they are typical of that aggressivity that characterizes some reactions on the part of the Mormons. The fact that religion is a delicate issue can help explain why the Mormons quoted above have a thin-skinned reaction. But that is not the only reason. The history of Mormonism. Last night, Jan Shipps talked about the importance of history telling in Mormonism. And that history goes everywhere. One case in point is the handbook, Our Heritage. That little booklet is studied in the churches, in the LDS Church, everywhere. Whether you have a history connected with the United States or not, it is a heritage to which, if you become a Mormon, you identify with. So in that case, the traumas of Mormonism, the persecutions, are something that Mormons, that is activated on the whenever Mormons are criticized everywhere. So it's also true in Europe. Beside the aggressive reaction, you have religious ones in which Mormons actually make a secret space out of the internet. That is, they testify. They start there, and it's easy to recognize, and usually when they do that, they cut discussions short. Mormons actually testify 19 times out of 57 in the comments posted on Parvis 21. Now remember that it is the second highest percentage of hostile comments. So is there some sort of reaction? Do Mormons actually cause people to over-criticize them by testifying in those discussions? There are also Mormons. There is the Mormon peer 69. He is a Mormon who lives in Lyon. He's the one who created the forum on Doctissimo. He testifies once in the discussions, but he does it in a way conducive to dialogue, to exchanges. I quote, he says that, okay, it's actually somebody asked him. He never said that the LDS Church was the truest on the earth until somebody asked him. And he said it in this way. Now, I know that if I say that it is the truest church on the earth, I will be lynched out of here. And, of course, it was, you know, he did it in a sort of joking way, and nobody actually lynched him, and people actually came and talked it over with him, and he talked about it. And it was much more conducive to dialogue than the statement I'm going to quote here. I know that it is the only true, now this is capped, it is the only true and living church upon the faith of the earth, upon the face of the earth. I know it by the power of the Holy Ghost, which witnesses in me. Now, this statement is made with caps, and it is very similar to Natalie. Natalie actually belongs to the evangelical movement in France. And it is very similar to when Natalie declined the invitation to go on the LDS Church's website to cross-check her information. She said that she knew, thanks to the Bible, that the Mormons do not come from Jesus Christ, nor are they from the will of God. Now, in this case, in both cases, both in the case of the Mormon and the non-Mormon, they use caps. But unlike the general interpretation, caps are used here not to be offensive, but to me it is used to express the levels of confidence the people, the Mormon has and the non-Mormon has in their respective beliefs. But still, Mormons are not all Mormons in the sample that I have studied are so absolute about their beliefs. There is a Mormon who wrote from Haiti who said that, I know that it is difficult for some to accept Smith's claims about the authenticity of the Book of Mormon. And then the person went on to invite the non-Mormons to come over and visit the church. And then there is another Mormon writing from the United States, actually an African Mormon, who said that, okay, you don't have to be prejudice-free. just come and visit us and we'll talk about it. So this kind of invitations are actually the kind of diplomatic relations that I have found among the Mormons and the non-Mormons on the internet. How good am I with the time?
10:32, so we've got 15
minutes. Good. So I'm moving on to the fourth and last part of my presentation, which is going deeper into the interpretation of the interaction between Mormons and non-Mormons on the internet. All in all, it is fair to say that there are three types among the Francophone Mormons who engage in diplomatic and dialogic relations with non-Mormons on the net. Those who create websites and blogs which do not necessarily address Mormonism, which do not necessarily allow people to come and react, to post comments. It's only just like the official website of the LDS Church. You can only go and read something, and then if you want to react to it, you do it elsewhere. You also have those apologetic Mormons in France. For instance, there's the website called, we've seen it in the table here, La Feuille d'Olivier, the olive leaf. You also have this one here. You also have Ajumir. It's and the blog Les Saints des Derniers Jours, which is a website hosted by a French Mormon who was a missionary here in Salt Lake City, and he lives here and he writes in French. The content of his blog is faith promoting. It's geared towards Mormons, but people can read it on the French Francophone world. He's got a lot of visitors, actually. So those they belong to the first category of Mormons who use the internet, and then you also have those who join in already existent discussions, as on Parvis 21 or on Jacobinet, and those who set up their virtual Mormon desk and invite non-Mormons to gather around them for discussion on Mormonism. It is the case of Pierre, the Mormon who created the forum on Doctissimo, and also the case of Frederick, another Mormon who actually decided to write the article on Wikipedia, on the French portal of Wikipedia. Frederick is very active on the internet in France. He has also written for another encyclopedia, which is widely very used by Francophones in general, called Larousse. In any case, Francophone Mormons use the internet. Their use of the internet reveals a certain desire for more understanding of their faith in the public space. Yet the visibility the internet provides them with is an anonymous one. Actually, although anonymous, it ultimately improves the quality of discussion because people can engage in conversations with them without disclosing their identity and without any commitment, without any religious commitment afterwards. Very few internet users in the sources read, in the sample that I have studied, gave their real names. Otherwise, the overall majority of users use pseudonyms or initials, and that anonymous format fits in well with them because it allows them to speak about their faith, I'm talking about the Mormons, without being seen. For those who do not want to be seen and who do not feel that they are able to stand among non-Mormons in real-life discussion and to talk about their faith. Thus, it's the case of those who do not want to be ostracized. A good illustration is the case of that Mormon teacher I've talked about, and there are Mormons who teach in the French educational system. Some people do not know that they belong to the Mormon Church, and actually people may even think that they are atheists because it's just the context makes it so that you don't always openly talk about your religion. It also serves non-Mormons to remain anonymous. Only three contributors in the sample that I have studied justify their internet research on Mormonism as part of a conversion plan. Otherwise, the overall majority claim to look Mormonism up simply out of curiosity. whatever their motivations, they all seem to trust anonymous Mr. No One and Nobody more than their Mormon neighbors. The Mormon missionaries and even the close friends who belong to the Mormon church. I think I've put a couple of statements to show that. Don't have it. Didn't put them. Well, I'm going to read them for you. Here's one. Can you explain the beliefs of your church? I have one in my neighborhood. That person did not feel the need to go to the church and just ask them, what do you guys believe in and what are you guys doing? Because there's the feeling that if you go to the church, then you might be invited and you might be pressured, etc. And then another one from Eloise 75, probably someone who lives in Paris. That's the area code for Paris, who wanted to know if it was fine for her to continue to date a Mormon. She had a Mormon boyfriend, and she just went over on the internet to find, okay, is it fine? Beside their beliefs, how do they react? What do they do? Am I in danger of dating a Mormon or not? Beside anonymity, turning to the internet allows contributors some distance. Cognitive distance. While the internet is known to break down barriers and to bring people from all walks of life together, case in point is a non-Mormon living in Reunion, conversing with a Mormon who joins a forum from Haiti. That is, you've got two parts of the world totally very far away. And the internet also provides users with a cognitive distance, as I said, in time and space. That is, contributors have time to think about what they read, be it an insult, be it an invitation to read the Book of Mormon, etc., and to frame their answers with much less influence than if they were in one-on-one discussions. The fact that it is the written form of language that is used also encourages people to take the distances in conversation on Mormonism. A contributor may pose a question and return 3 or 4 days afterwards and read the answers. Also, some people, the internet, make it possible for people to just go over and see what other people have said. On Peers Forum, on Doctissimo, the website has counted a total of 2,664 visits. That is, the forum was visited that many times, but only 286 people posted comments, asked questions, engaged in discussions. That means the overall majority just didn't bother to go into the discussions. They felt comfortable reading what other people had written. Coming to terms, the democratic aspect of the internet also transpires in the way Mormons and non-Mormons come to terms on issues of disagreement which may have been based on misunderstandings or stereotypes, or sometimes even on facts. The way Francophone Mormons and non-Mormons negotiate on the internet as they address other issues relating to the history of Mormonism, such as the Mountain Meadows Massacre, the Church's policy on race prior to 1978, the Christianity and non-Christianity of Mormonism, or even the death of the founder of Mormonism, is also noteworthy. Even words matter to participants on Wikipedia, because one single word can bring about a totally different reading of events. On the death of Joseph Smith, a contributor argued that the phrase, quote, "Joseph Smith was assassinated in 1844, end of quote, the contributor said that the quote did not tell exactly what happened and that it made Smith a victim of other people's wickedness. He said that tragic death should not be an excuse to present readers with a single perspective. The repletion of phrases like "I don't agree" or comments that reflect disagreement followed by expressions of apology in all the content, in all the sources that I have studied, both from Mormons and from non-Mormons, are evidence that the dialogic and constructive aspects of the exchanges on the internet are what actually make people want to come and discuss Mormonism. It goes without saying that they do not appear in sources that are highly hostile but rather sources favorable or neutral towards Mormonism. Disagreeing is quite an easy thing to do. I'm moving towards the conclusion, don't worry. But talking things out to find a common ground, to come to terms, is a much more difficult process. Strangely enough, it is this difficult aspect that makes the internet exchanges between Francophone Mormons and their non-Mormon counterparts expressions of democracy. They are expressions of democracy in that the internet gives visibility, now I put that in quotes, and empowers Francophone Mormons, a group that is clearly in the minority in the Francophone religious landscape, while meeting non-Mormons' needs for information without commitments. As shown in the data and from my analysis, although Francophone Mormons may not necessarily be interested in joining the LDS Church, hostility towards Mormonism remains a marginal thing. It does not even represent the religiously symbolic 10% of comments in the sample, although the criticism that Mormonism is a cult, which certainly hurts Francophone Mormons the most, is usually the one that is brought up in the 8% percentage. What the data tell us is that the old stereotypes, although they still exist, although when people use them, they use them in very harsh ways, which hurt Mormons the most and heighten the impression of persecution. High percentage of favorable or neutral comments actually reflect the need on the part of Francophone Mormons to study Mormonism, to intellectualize it. That is, they want to know what Mormons really believe in and what they do not believe in. They want to know who Joseph Smith was. They want to know what Mormons are like, how they behave in everyday life, etc. They want to know the real history of Mormonism, not just the convert-making, faith-promoting story as told by the Church, nor the biased one told by anti-Mormons, although both of them can at some point help understand Mormonism. Finally, if language is a window into the mind in that it tells about cognitive processes, as linguists have shown, in the case of Mormonism in the Francophone world, the internet is also a window in that it reveals the processes at work between believers and non-believers, between competitors, in a way, as they build bridges of understanding. As I have argued, the construction of such bridges is made possible because the internet provides a number of elements, among which distances, anonymity, which fit both parties. Accessibility to the internet certainly plays a qualitative and quantitative nature of the findings. Although they include 18 Francophone countries and territories, I have noted that all but one of the websites and blogs are hosted and moderated from the North American or European continents, with a large proportion of participants residing on those continents. As a consequence, we are left to wonder what it would have been like had there been more Congolese, Haitian, and Cote d'Ivoirean Mormons, for instance, in the sample that I have studied. Those people live in countries where the internet is much less accessible to them than in Europe or in America, but their perspective and their different approaches on the subject, religion, differ from what we have in the developed countries. It would consequently be interesting in a few years from now to see how locality and those different approaches of religion influence the outcome of exchanges on Mormonism in the Francophone world. Thank you.
We have some time for questions if you'd like to ask them, but please use the microphone so they get recorded.
Diane, you're welcome.
I I just found this absolutely fascinating. I've served two LDS missions in Europe, called Francophone, Geneva, Switzerland. Lived in Ferney-Voltaire, France. I just have such a great feeling for these people. In Belgium also, was a lot. So this really resonates with me. I'm also a translator of the poetry of Paul Valéry, and a rather marginal speaker of French. But thinking of this, I realize something I'm aware of, how really superficial the discourse level is, you know, among the Francophones. I think you're in the right business. I don't really have a question, but I just think you're in the right business teaching English, because the people that I met in Europe who had the deepest intellectual and spiritual connection with the discourse were people who also could read in English, because so much of the material is available in English. And short of massive translations of some of the key works, I don't know what else to do except to teach these people how to read, and at least read English. Because so many of our converts and amis over there are, they speak French, but they don't even read French, but they speak it, and they don't speak.
You're talking about converts where?
In Geneva, we had 24 countries in one board.
Yeah, immigrants.
And they were all illegals and people from South America.
They are the ones who convert the most.
And we needed a common language. And as much as I love French, and it's just so dear to my heart, I don't know what else to do with these people except promote an ability to read English. Now, I don't think our church leaders over there would have a great interest in having them dive into a whole bunch of crazy, discussions and forums. You know, the sweetness of the faith over there is overwhelming, and it's wonderful, even without all of this. But I don't know, I hope I'm raising maybe some questions with others,
yeah.
But my question, my feeling is to just tell you that I think that what you're engaged in is marvelous, and I'm going over there in a week again to see all my people in Belgium and Geneva again, and chase them all down, and hope and pray that...
If you go down there, look at the website, SDJ-Mormons. It is one that is hosted by members, Mormons in the Francophone part of Switzerland. SDJ Mormons, -Mormons.
Yes.
Yes. It is an apologetic website. It has comments. And what they're trying to do is, I don't know if you have finished. Maybe I should let you finish.
Oh, I'm finished.
Yeah. So what they're trying to do is to kind of bring over to Europe the material that exists here in the United States, and particularly in Utah. For instance, just before the other week, I posted an article in my personal blog on Mormonism and ecumenism. And in that, I have quoted some of the material. I didn't have to translate it, because those guys, they had already done the translation. Articles that have been published here, and especially by the people who work particularly with FAIR, for instance. Now, you've said superficial. I am very cautious on certain words, because I am interested in perception. In that regard, I would say perception differs. For you, it is definitely superficial, because from a Mormon standpoint, the most important aspect of things should be to go deep into the value of the gospel, the value what the restoration represents. But from Francophone, particularly in France, perspective. From their perspective, it is not superficial. It is actually the most important for them is to intellectualize Mormonism. And I am part of a group of people who are actively engaged in the academic community in France and in Europe to do that. Recently, we've had a lot of people, Mormons and non-Mormons alike, who have been studying Mormonism. Besides Christian Lefrog, who is a Mormon, we have a Catholic who has been studying Mormonism for the past 10 years. She has completed a PhD dissertation in one of the highest schools in France. She is a sociologist. She behaved like a Mormon for 6 years so as to understand. She came to BYU. But she's not a Mormon. She's not interested in becoming a Mormon, and scholars are not interested in joining Mormonism. That's why the intellectual aspect of it is what matters to them, not the spiritual side of it, for the most part of them. I don't know if I have addressed all of the things that you've brought up, but when it comes to the number of the immigrants, for instance, who join, I am one of them. But then by the way, I'm one of them. But if it is easy for me in a discussion in English to say that I'm a Mormon, that I belong to some religion, I guess that I would be criticized by some Mormons here in Utah. They would consider that I am not advancing the cause of Mormonism because my approach is more academic. That's my job. If I want to have a job in France, I better be in an academic, factual approach of things.
I just want to say one more thing. By superficial, I meant that at the level that they do it, which is not...
Oh, whatever aspect, yeah. Okay.
I think it's very important that these initial steps be taken over there to dispel, and to try to dispel... Mm-hmm. The public perception.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And it was just, I knew the person that I met, the deepest interaction with all levels of the church, both spiritual and intellectual, was a Swiss who had served his mission in England. Mm-hmm. And so that made him, bilingual. And so he came back to Switzerland, and his life, for the rest of his life, and this was an older man.
So you said superficial in terms of material available, whatever the content of that material.
Yeah, like that. But this man, going to his house, my wife and I were the home teachers of the family. They insisted upon me going. He would take me in his basement. It was full of books, just as deep as anything I ever even see in the States. And he just had, he wrote, and he had this wonderful interaction.
Yes.
And the richness of his life was just not available to the rest of the members. And that's my dream.
Definitely, you're right.
For those people.
By the way, if I may add something to this. The missionaries in Bordeaux, where I come from, they actually... There is a lack of material in French, but the Mormon missionaries are not prepared for intellectual discussions.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come and get me
to go
with them, because people, if you go on the intellectual side of things, it doesn't matter the content, then in that case, it is superficial. There's not enough material. But you said that you're a translator, and those guys in Europe, they're looking for people who can help them on their websites. And that would provide more work for me in the future. I'd be more than glad to have those materials available.
But I would love to be of help in that area. But the missionaries would take my wife and I, and sometimes me, along on the journeys, to the various communities, and... The missionaries would come. The people would ask these questions, and they needed senior missionaries there desperately.
Yes.
To even in general, not to get too crazy, but at least to answer the missionaries, just go blank.
Definitely.
They would go completely blank, and the MEs, they Europeans, they want to know.
Yeah,
and
in
they
that regard.
Appreciate it if you can deliver it.
There is a lot of, we're publishing a lot. Last October, as I said, we held the first international conference on Mormonism. We also held a symposium at the CNRS. CNRS is where you get the best scholars in France.
It's faith promoting to these people to have such discussions. It actually, you know, it increases their testimony. And in Belgium, they had a film series, and they would show God's Army and States of Grace, and they would just. And
the other side of heaven.
And stuff that we wouldn't even dare do in our local wards. They just went right for it. And non-members would come and they would go, wow, this is great cinema, because you know how they are about that. And so it was a tremendous tool.
Saints and soldiers, people love it.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Well, I think we're out of time. I appreciate the discussion. If any of you have questions after, I'm sure you can chat. Let me just remind you again that the bookstore's there, and I know that they're anxious to take your money and make you feel happy. So thank you very much.